WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guests are composer John Harbison and violinist Rosemary Harbison. John Harbison is the winner of many awards and commissions, including this year's Pulitzer Prize for Music. Harbison is a jazz pianist as well as a classical violist. He's a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and serves as the music director for the Los Angeles Philharmonic New Music Group. He's been a resident composer for the Los Angeles Philharmonic and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Harbison has composed in nearly every form. He writes chamber music, symphonies, concertos, operas, and song cycles. You can get a sense of his range from his new album, which includes two pieces. One piece is called Variations and was written for violin, clarinet, and piano. The violinist on Variations is John Harbison's wife, Rosemary, who he often composes for. The other piece is called Mirabai Songs. It's based on Robert Bly's translation of six poems written in the 16th century by an Indian woman named Mirabai. When her husband died, she took to the streets singing and dancing to her soulful poems. Let's listen to the piece Don't Go, Don't Go from John Harbison's Mirabai Songs, sung by mezzo-soprano Janice Felty. I asked John Harbison what attracted him to the Mirabai poems.
It's, to me, a very powerful personality that comes through those poems, a woman of tremendous independence. And I thought of that cycle as not just a setting of poems, but as a kind of a evocation or characterization of this dancing singer from the 16th century India who speaks in a very contemporary language through Robert Bly.
You went to music school, to college, and then graduate school in the late 50s and early 60s. What were the ideas, the musical ideas then, that most excited you?
Well, the ones that most excited me, I must admit, in the 50s, probably were as much connected to the worlds of popular music and jazz as they were to so-called serious music or concert music.
Why did you end up composing new music instead of staying with popular music or jazz?
I think because I found that my urge, at least my deepest urges, seem to be towards very large kinds of structures, that is, putting together pieces which hung together or which made sense over a very long time span, like anywhere from 15 minutes to half an hour. And I didn't find in the classical, in the popular or jazz field, opportunities to do that sort of thing. I wasn't able to express what I felt was a certain kind of gift that I had.
You know, sometimes audiences catch up to new music, and in 30 years, things that seem very avant-garde or inaccessible become quite popular. And other times, the music just always stays ahead of the audience and remains... remains in the avant-garde. I guess what I'm asking is, do you think your music will always remain art music?
Well, I think it's hard to predict whether art music will, as you said, whether any art music remains art music is very unpredictable. I think that what I'm hoping for is that my music continue as it seems to now to cut rather widely across audience divisions and to be somewhat unpredictable as to who's going to like it and where it's going to be played. And I think if it continues to do that, I'll be very happy.
You're a pianist. Can you perform your own music, or is it too difficult?
In all honesty, I'd say that 98% of it's too difficult.
Is it frustrating to write things that you can't perform?
Well, I guess it is only locally. In those moments when I sit down to practice it, I think, my God, how does anyone play this stuff? You know? But then I've heard from performers you know, accounts of my music being seeming quite readily accessible at first and playable and getting harder as one works on it, and now to have experienced that myself with my own music, I'm perhaps more understanding about their dilemmas.
You write a lot of music for your wife, the violinist Rosemary Harbison, and I'd like to bring her into this conversation. First, let's hear some music that you wrote for her, and I want to play some of the variations featured on your latest album. Can you tell us what you had in mind about her sound or her capabilities as a performer when you wrote the violin part for her?
Yes, I wrote this piece for a trio of players who were all close musical associates of mine, Rosemary and David Satz, the clarinetist, and Ursel Oppens, the pianist. And I depended on these particular performers to be able to hear this piece as a whole and to make it cohere. And then, of course, I knew their individual playing very well. And in starting the piece off and in fact shaping the piece, I had a kind of leader-follower relationship between the clarinet and the violin, which switches roles, one leading, one following in different points.
Rosemary, when you're about to learn one of the pieces that John has written for you, do you talk about it with him, or do you not want him involved with that? Do you want to just be with the score and approach it without his discussion of it first?
I try to do as much as I can independently because I want to explore as much as I can what's there so that he hears, in a sense, what I naturally go for in the piece. Part of this is to give him an idea of what he writes things down, whether he's going to get a reading that's realistic that he wants back. I'm kind of the test pilot, so to speak, for these highfalutin pieces he rolls out.
John, do you have to take a piece over to Rosemary and say, is this playable?
I sometimes do that, but I also do depend on her to get a sense of what a player will do confronted with a certain thing on the page.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary, there is a phenomenon in our society where sometimes if a man and woman do something together, the man is taken more seriously than the woman is. And I wonder if you ever have to overcome this feeling of that some people might have, oh, well, she's the featured violinist because her husband wrote the piece. People who don't know your work and don't know what an accomplished performer you are, does that ever happen?
Well, it's certainly a torment for me. But it's that goes to a deeper issue than whether it's what the realities are. You can't both be going at life full tilt, I don't think. And so my view has been that John's life comes first, and I know this is going to get a lot of people's upset. But it comes first not because he is dominant, but because I think it works easier in the relationship for that to be the case. In a funny way, my being able to stay in the background has turned me into the artist I really wanted to become because I've been able to be more speculative. There's something to be said for being able to sort of stand aside and take in what's really going on. It's very, very useful at times, and I think I've used it to great advantage. I'm real happy with where I'm at right now as an artist, and it's been a long time coming.
Do you ever play together just for pleasure at home? And if so, what kind of music do you play?
No, we certainly do. We play, I'd say when we're just playing for ourselves, we play most often Bach sonatas.
Mm-hmm.
And we play jazz. We play bass line for each other as jazz players. And lately we've been playing violin piano jazz or pop songs. And we sometimes play four-hand piano, though that tends to be the most difficult. For some reason, it touches nerves.
It's because I never know the changes.
Well, I meant also we play Schubert four-hand piano, and the question is, Rosemary is a far better pianist than I am as pianist, but I'm a better reader, and so we have great conflict about who should play the first part and so forth.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Composer John Harbison and violinist Rosemary Harbison spoke to us from radio station WHA in Madison, Wisconsin.